All right, we are running it back to 2020. We have Coach Fish back on again for another episode. It's the reunion. So excited for this one. I saw that you booked on the calendar, and for months we've been really excited for this. Know it or not, you have been a mega instrumental part of our growth since the inception of this podcast. So thanks so much for coming on again.
It is so good to be back, guys. And I'm fired up with where you guys have gone and the journey and the climb and the consistency. So super, super pumped to be here.
I love it, man. So for those of you that don't know Coach Fish, listen to the other episode that we had with him. It was like the third episode that we've ever had. That was when we were still the Learn Lead podcast, now the Consistency Wins podcast. But for those of us that don't know you and that are too lazy to actually go back and listen to the podcast, tell us a little bit more about yourself, your background, and your business.
So I've been, I'm a Fresno native, Central California native, and I am a product of the 80s and 90s, so about a generation before you guys. The last generation, I always say, that was raised without the internet. That's all I can hang my hat on. We were allowed to go ride a bike and still come back right when it was dark without parents getting freaked out. But I moved to Los Angeles in my early 20s to seek out an acting career and try to achieve a dream of mine. And it went, you know, like most journeys out here, through peaks and valleys. Book here and there, some commercials, a few spots, but I kind of pivoted back to my sports background and got into coaching, quarterback coaching at a private high school down here in Sherman Oaks. And it was awesome. It was really good for my soul at that moment because I was just getting married. I felt like I needed to make a change with just where my life and direction and what I really needed to do. And it just, football came in clutch for me in more ways than one. But, you know, from there, I grew a quarterback company, and Throw to Win quarterback development was born through that process. I've been training quarterbacks full time for the last 7 years. It's been wild. It's still one of those jobs out here in LA where I'm kind of like the interesting convo because everybody's in the industry. You're an actor, a musician, or an artist. And when I say, yeah, I train quarterbacks, everyone kind of like, really? And then it's a fun conversation because it's certainly a niche. So that's what I do. 3 kids later, almost 10 years into marriage, still alive, guys. Not a lot of hair left, but still alive.
I love it. I mean, I've been following you on social for probably 5 years of that 7. So I've been able to see your brand grow, see your business grow. Talk about, you know, 7 years ago when you decided to kind of take that leap and start to really grow into building the business, you know, trading quarterbacks. It is a pattern interrupt when you tell people what you do for, you know, as a business owner. Talk about maybe just some of the initial friction you got from peers and just what that initial leap looked like for you 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was 7 years doesn't sound like a lot of time, but it was completely different than the landscape now. I think Instagram just got on the scene. People were still Facebooking. It was much more of a, you know, whether you either on social media or you're like, oh, what's this about? And I didn't do any of that. I just had a business card like the old school days and handed out business cards. And when I had conversations, I said, hey, give me a call. And that was how you did business. And then my good friend of mine said, hey, man, I think you've got something here. You really seem to be enjoying this. And I think you've got a gift to do this. And he wasn't even, he's not an athlete. He's just a dear friend who loves sports. But, you know, he knew me. And he said, you should probably start using social media, getting on Instagram and putting this out there. And I was able to kind of get ahead of the curve before everything kind of went crazy with, you know, training and social media marketing. And I just started doing videos and putting things out there and content creating and, you know, like everyone does now. I was able to do that probably a year or two before it blew up. And, you know, I had a niche for it and I was getting kids to a good place with their careers. And that's really kind of where I got my start.
Yeah. I love watching the content that you're putting up of the quarterbacks because it's different. You know, there's people that post a lot of content about some of the quarterbacks that they're training, but you're also going a lot more in depth, like throwing on the run. You're watching videos of these kids throwing around like soccer poles and things like that, that are actually like, it's very functional, and you see it in the NFL today as well. But I want to go back to like the business side of things, because I think when we last interviewed you, it was like right before COVID, I think. So things really switched up during that time. So tell us a little bit more about how your business pivoted, because it's an in-person business. So tell us a little bit more about that, especially in California. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
That was a weird time, because we had just, I just had my second kid. We had just put made an offer on a house, and boom, the world shut down. But it was the best year of my life, fiscally wise, because no one could work indoors anywhere. Everything was remote, but kids had to get out. Parents, at least in my line of work, knew their kids had to get outside. Everything was, bunkered in, and people were hitting me up left and right. I thought I was going to be done. I thought I was dead in the water, because no one was allowed to even be, I don't know if you guys remember, you couldn't be around three people at one time. Like you weren't allowed to even to be in pods. I had people videoing me when I would work with kids, more than three or four at a time, and tattle on me to the Gestapo, I say, and tag me with CNN and all this craziness. Like everyone was just kind of like ratting. It was a wild time. It's never been the same. But back then, when COVID was hitting it in the 2020, it was insanity. But my job went stratospheric, because there was nothing else going on. There was no seasons being played. So usually my downtime was the busiest time during the fall year, from August, September, October, November. That's usually my downtime, because it's season. There was no seasons. Kids were trying to leave to Vegas or Nevada to work on, there was these leagues that people created just so kids could still play. And it was just the Wild West. I was able to get my house at the lowest interest rate ever before it went crazy. My job blew up even more, and I didn't get that sick. So COVID in my life was a blessing. I know not everyone can share that same same experience, but what I thought was going to be a terrible year for all aspects ended up being a huge year for me.
So just to kind of go take a look under the hood of the business, what did your business start out like as far as your clientele goes? What does it look like now? And how has your business model changed over time? How you charge clients, how you work with clients, how you scale and grow? You're a one-man show, to my understanding. So how do you kind of navigate yourself being the key employee inside your business with your client base as it's grown? So talk about maybe the timeline of your growth, and then just kind of some of the things that you're handling in today's environment.
When I changed my model from paying upfront or buying in packages for training to subscription-based training, my whole game changed. And I still try to tell my colleagues, like, you guys, if you're still trying to pass your hat around and put money in there after training, you're going to go crazy, because I was. You put your card on file, you create a commitment base, whether it's a 6-month, 12-month, 3-month, whatever it is, and for whatever, however much it is a month, that's what I do. And I had some mentors that helped me with that, that changed my life. And it was scary, because I didn't think parents would do it, but it works. And I doubled up. Not only did I double up, I work less, because it's more group training now. It's more streamlined. It's, you have your window. If you miss it, then you miss it. But I'm still, it's the same, just like a gym membership. You can go every day, or you can go once a month, but it's going to be the same price, because that's the commitment you signed when we got on board. So I got to sell it as such, but I can sell. I know how to, usually parents in the QB world are serious, and they're not looking to show up randomly if they're dialed in for a 6-month commitment. It's something that they got to decide as a family to do. But once you are in, you can streamline that thing, and the margins you know, and I got a few guys working underneath me from here time to time. But that's really, I don't think that's changed since we talked last, because that happened probably in 2019, I think. And that's when my business doubled up easily.
Yeah. So switching to the flat fee model and the subscription based model, it just creates so much predictability inside of your business. And like everything runs through cash flow wise. You understand what your margins are at all times. You're not constantly having to chase the next check. Landon and I have pivoted to that as well. And it's been so much better. It creates more enterprise value over time as well. If you're looking to actually get a valuation out of this company. My question to you is, over the last couple of years, how have you evolved as a leader of men, as a father? Like, what does that look like? How have you consistently been able to level yourself up as you're developing these young men?
That's a good question, dude. I feel like I'm always trying to, I need to get better. Like I'm trying to grow as me. When I grow and I try to work on me, usually influences into my work with kids. I'm not the easiest coach. I'm fair, but I talk a lot of shit. And and a lot of guys love that, and a lot of guys don't like that. I've got a very certain type of family that I work with, that I always say I like the type of kids who have very supportive dads. Those dads never tell them that they love them. I'm looking for these blue collar, gritty. And I just say that because my dad and I have a great relationship. He tells me he loves me every single time I talk to him. But the type of kid that I look for, they just got that dog, that chip that, you know, they can take a beating. They know how to get coached up. They like being coached up hard. They love to laugh. They love to joke, but they also know, don't cross a line when I'm getting coached up with Coach Fish, because it's business. So I really try to instill, like, hey, you signed up to be in the most difficult position at all sports, where you're going to be scrutinized more than any position in all of sports. So your skin has got to be leather tough. You've got to just be built different if this is what you want to do. Because at some point, you're going to have an entire city wanting to kill you. And you need to understand what it's like to, hey, man, I'm not going to be told how great I am every single day. Like, you will have some downtime. So I kind of push that on them. And I don't know if that's just a product of how I was raised, being 4 out of 5 with 4 brothers, where it's just like kill or be killed. But I think it's very beneficial for the quarterback psyche. And on top of that, just learning how to be communicate, teach these young men. These kids are so bad at communicating now. Even like just talk, I see them how they interact with their girlfriends. They're just on the phones. They don't even talk to each other. And I always make fun. I was like, how does this girl even like you, dude? You don't even talk to her, man. What do you guys even do? Like, from what I know, like, they all just go hang out and the girl watches the guy play, you know, games, and then that's a 3-hour hang, and then they go, I don't know, make out afterwards. But I actually had to talk to women. I had to flirt and hit on them and try to make moves. But these guys suck. And that goes to, like, one-word answers with coaches. Don't do it. Have a question for a coach. Be interesting. Have something you know about a team if someone's recruiting you. Have a stat. Have something ready. You know, when someone asks you, how's your recruiting going? Don't say, not much is happening. Bullshit. And make yourself feel like you are being sought after. Like, you got to learn how to talk. You got to learn how to carry yourself. And that's, as you know, like, there's so many kids that can throw a ball well, but there's not a lot of kids where I would be like, I think you could be the guy for my team.
So I was going to, I'd love to unpack kind of where you just finished up there, is advice to some of these younger kids that are trying to get recruited to the next level, you know, some do's and don'ts, some advice on some things to think about. And then maybe just talk about the recruiting landscape now, how it's changed over the last very recent year or two with NIL and all that stuff. So do's and don'ts and things you recommend, and just that whole landscape as well, just as a, from a macro perspective, you can cover some of that.
Dues, definitely dues. As far as recruiting, I would say first thing is know where you fit. Don't try to market yourself to Notre Dame when you should be going to Sac State. Don't put an expectation on yourself because someone told you at some point that you could play at that level. Like, I'm not trying to crush anyone's dreams, but there's levels to this. So first thing is know what you're, and I think life will tell you where
some guys are so delusional, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But that's my point is, like, you're going to know at some point in your high school career, right around sophomore, junior year, if you are top tier or you are good, middle of the pack, just trying to get a spot. And so beginning of it is like, let's just understand the process. Don't try to be something or not. And then from there, work on your size, not necessarily height. Obviously height is great, but like learn how to eat, learn how to make your body look good in the right places for a quarterback. You want to look good in the chest and the arms and the back. You're going to get looked at every single time you walk through a room. Like don't think you can just be, you know, an average guy in the weight room because you're a quarterback. Lift the right way. Don't lift like a lineman or a linebacker, but take your body seriously. And you know, when you go to these camps or you go to these, you know, showcases, learn how to be a dog, man. Learn how to cut line, learn how to talk to coaches, learn how to have that swag where you are being looked at in a way where you're separating yourself from the pack. It's a dog eat dog world at these camps. Landon, I'm sure you remember, like, this guy's always cutting. This guy's always getting reps. Why is this guy always in line? Like, you know, like you couldn't stand those guys, but those were the guys getting looks. And you, there's a way of doing it where you don't got to be a punk, but the alphas find a way. And so that's, you know, just little things like that. And then on top of that, like, know the game. Watch football. Kids don't watch football anymore. It's amazing how many kids I train that don't even watch football, or they'll just catch little TikTok highlights. Like, there's not a lot of students of the game anymore because of attention span's gone out the window. There's too much information. There's too much distraction. There's too many other things going on that no one's sitting down and watching a full game anymore. And I understand. I mean, that's just the way that is now, but you still got to be a student of the game. Know what a guy does. How can you take your game to a level by emulating someone that maybe looks like you, maybe plays like you, similar styles of mechanics? Like, it's almost like there's so much information that no one's getting the right information.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point earlier, what a lot of people don't understand, what I wish I understood when I was going through the recruiting process in baseball, is that it's sales. You're literally in sales at the end of the day when you're trying to market yourself out there. And your appearance is just as important as your performance at the end of the day, because they're not just evaluating you based on where you're at today, but also based on where you could be at and how malleable are you? How coachable are you? So all those little things, and being that guy, like you said, at the front, I used to get hated on that all the time because it used to come off as being like an ass kisser. But that's who gets the looks, that really is. And like you said, there's a way to do that. And that's why I think you're so valuable in the marketplace, because you're willing to tell it straight. You understand the game at a high level. And so you're coaching these guys to be leaders. And I'm sure that even after football, they are succeeding in business and all these different things. So my question to you would be, like, what's the vision? Like, how have you seen it play out so far? And where do you want to see it the next 5 to 10 years?
So this is how crazy recruiting is, and this is kind of part of your question too, Landon. Got a kid, Jalen Henderson. He committed to Fresno State 2 years ago. Dual threat, 6'3", 215 pounds. The coaches who recruited him got the job at University of Washington. Another coach, Coach Tedford, came to Fresno State. Legendary coach, Coach Aaron Rodgers at Cal. He's one of the best pro-style development coaches in college football. But he didn't know what to do with Jalen because he didn't recruit Jalen. He didn't know what – he looked at Jalen and was like, you're a Swiss Army knife. You can run, you can throw, but you're unique. He didn't play Jalen. Jalen went in the portal, and Texas A&M picked him up in a week without game tape. Without any game tape, which is unheard of, about kids going into the portal from a Mountain West conference. Not only going from a Mountain West to maybe a Mountain West without game tape is not easy to do, but Mountain West to an SEC program without game tape. And it's because the coaches there, Coach Petrino, who coached Lamar Jackson, saw Jalen's practice. He has tons of practice tape where he's ripping one for 80 and throwing bombs. And he's like, oh, I know what to do with you. I've had one of you. I know exactly who you are. And that just shows you like the wild west of where we are with recruiting and portal. And NIL is its own thing, because what I see social media to really what it is, I think people are getting it wrong. I don't think kids are making as much money as, you know, and there's stipulations and there's a lot of funky contracts and deals that have to happen for this guaranteed money to happen. There is definitely money out there, but it all, you know, varies. And I think the pendulum is going to swing back where we got to find this middle ground where it's insane. It's just, this whole college landscape is insane. And I talk to coaches that have been in the game a while. They're like, dude, we don't even know what the hell. We're just trying to freaking find a guy. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. So it's screwing the high school kids the most, because the development process has gone out the window. It's a win now business. And you used to, you know, have a kid that you knew you'd have for 4 years and develop, and hopefully he was ready to go by sophomore, junior year. That was the goal. And now it's, you know, 4 and 5 stars are dipping out after a year because they've been dudes their whole life, and now they're not starting, and they think that I got to go somewhere. I don't know how to sit on the bench anymore. I don't know how to go through the process of waiting, and coaches are leaving. Like, this whole, we're on a different sequence, and it's not good. I don't think it's good at all, because there's no development, and it's really hard to get a gauge of what your trajectory in 4 years will look like when there's just no consistency, you know. So it's kind of a long-winded answer, but
it's tough too, because the quarterback position is it's all about commitment to a team and a program, and the culture that we have across all positions in college football is, and in high school football, it's a big shuffleboard, transferring from one school to the next. Even if things might be going your way, some kids are still transferring to, you know, maybe get in their perspective a better look or a better opportunity. And it's tough, because it's way, like you said, the pendulum is going to have to swing back to some extent, because it's way over abused and overused across the board in sports right now, especially football. I can't speak much to baseball, Tony. I'm sure you can, but I don't know. Yeah. Outside of that, I think at the quarterback position, it's tough, because you get into a school, there's 4 or 5 other guys. You're used to being the guy your whole life. You're used to being that dude. And then you realize, oh shit, everybody can throw the ball. Everybody can spin the rock. Now I have to watch film at 5 a.m. Now I have to go to class all day and then go practice and basically take a test every single day, you know, is what you're basically doing every day at practice is what it felt like for me playing the 4 years I played. There's so much more that goes along into it. For me, I went to the school I did because I said to myself, you know, I don't have any desire to play beyond college. I also know kind of where my skill set is. I'm a 5'11" white quarterback that runs a 4.9 40. I'm not going to go start at Clemson. Through my time, I ran into a ton of delusional athletes, a ton of delusional people. And there was a lot of guys I could throw just as good at as that were playing at those levels or getting recruited by those schools. But I also knew there was other intangibles besides just being able to throw a football. And so I didn't make any recruiting decisions and do any transferring because of, you know, my ego, essentially, is what it would have been for. But I digress. But Coach, like, where do you see your business going? Where do you see Throw to Win going over the next few years? Like, what's the vision there? Because you've had awesome growth. It seems like you've kind of built this. You've built your business around your life really well, not your life around your business, it seems. So talk about just where you see the business going, and what gets you excited about the future.
I fell into this situation recently where I am training out of this private facility. A friend of mine bought up 6 acres in Chatsworth and put two turf fields side by side in a very private facility. And it's the most epic landscape football facility I've ever been in. So I'll send you some videos. There's a few on my social media, and it's right on off the mountains. The sunset goes over. It looks like Jurassic Park. So to me, I'm just trying to stay there, drink some beers, and train these kids every day and hand it over to someone when I'm about 45 and, you know, get into something else. I'm probably going to be done in about 7-8 years. Not because it's like I'm tired of it, just because, yeah, I'm kind of tired of it, I guess. That'd be fair to say. I'll be ready with
something
new. I love it. I'm very.
You have a baby very, boy, right?
I've got my own boy, and I want to see, dude. I'm trying to do everything I can not for him to be a quarterback. He looks like he's going to be a linebacker.
That's what I was going to ask you.
he looks like he's going to. I mean, he's just, and he's always angry, and he's always got this brow, and he's like. So he cracks me up. I think he just is going to want to come downhill and hit somebody. But he's got a good arm. I want to try to put him in some baseball too, Tony, because he's got a good arm. He's got good instincts. My daughter's a little baller too.
Good people.
Yeah. My firstborn, June, she's got a great swing, man. She finally put one over my fence, my backyard fence. She was fired up. She's got a sweet swing. But you know, my business, I like where my business is at. I was at a point where I was, you know, I always hustle. Like, it's in me. I'm always wanting to grow, and I do big camps every year, and I do recruiting, and I've got guys going, you know, I'm working with Jalen Daniels today, who's from, he's at Kansas. He's probably going to be in the Heisman, you know, early, you know, run this year. I'm going to go see him. Going to go see my guy, Giovanni McCoy, who just won the Jerry Rice Award at Idaho. Justin Martin, the 4-star at UCLA. Like, I want to be around guys at a point where I'm just training dudes that I've been around a long time that hopefully I can see them on Sundays at a high level and, you know, kind of pick and choose where and when I want to train because I've been doing it so long. And I'll always be a coach, and it's something that's in me, but I don't see myself being like the 70-year-old guy that's out there working with a bunch of 10-year-olds. You know, I'm just not. I don't think I'm built that way. I'm probably gonna pivot into something else probably in the next 6 or 7 years, and want to hand this off to someone that's been in my, you know, program that I trust, like a guy that I know knows what I teach and believes in what I teach, and that has proven to be successful through what I've taught, and love to see it grow. And you know, I've attempted to replicate it in certain states, but it's very tough to do it's tough to do private training with a brand that's yours when you let someone else run with it, because there's going to be a cut where it's like, hey, I'm getting this percentage of what you're making. And at some point, they always do this. They say, well, what am I going to pay him when I'm out here and I'm actually the one getting the clients? And I can do this without paying anybody, really. And I don't blame them. It's not easy unless you're just, you know, you're just making so much through someone's brand that it's, you don't want to do your own thing. It's hard to keep someone within that umbrella. So my, you know, my vision is just continue to do what I do, keep getting these kids ready, you know, and try to stay as healthy and young in my mind as I can. And, you know, Try not to get canceled.
I know we're headed towards the wrap up, Mark. I know you're on a time constraint here, but we've heard this word, you know, consistency, brought up by you significant amount of times. And I, you know, as we talked about earlier, that's our mantra, everything about it. So what does consistency mean to you? How do you go about defining it, and how important is it in your life, but also in the people that you train?
Consistency is when everything in you is just screaming to not want to do something, but the discipline of consistency gets you through it. And that's, to me, why consistency isn't something that people can do. Not a lot. Consistency is agonizing. Consistency is planting a tree and not seeing fruit for years. Consistency is faith. Consistency is self-belief when no one else believes. Consistency is it's something that you know you believe in, that you know it's going to be what your goal can be. But to get there, you can say consistency, but that doesn't make up the amount of days you wake up where you're just like, I want to be in bed with a pillow over my head. I don't want to deal with my kids crying. I don't want to deal with my wife mad. I want to just disappear and go into a hole. But I got to get my ass up. I got to get my kids ready for school. I got to go to work. I got to go to the gym because I don't want to be fat. All these things that I want don't just show up. Consistency is where success and torture find a perfect marriage.
Wow. This like, I can't wait to re-listen to this because I'm glad we got that recorded. Like, that is the epitome of what we were looking for. And a lot of people have said relatively the same thing. That has to take the cake for one of the best definitions we've ever heard of consistency. I love it. Thank you so much. Because I think everyone that is out on this entrepreneurial journey, that is looking on this high performance, high achievement path, consistency is what it's all about. And nobody talks about, everyone talks about the positive sides of consistency, but doesn't talk about how hard it is to actually be consistent. It's simple, but it's not easy. So I really appreciate you shedding the light on, you know, the insights of what consistency really means, because that hit all of us pretty hard right there. you know, as we wrap up here, how can our listeners follow you? How can they connect with Coach Fish and see the content?
Grow to Win on Instagram. I've had the same handle for years. I'm a lot more active on Twitter these days. Throw to Win there. Just because I'm in the recruiting more world of it right now, and the, you know, college coaches. That's kind of the marketplace. So yeah, Throw to Win. I've tailored it down a lot. I actually took Instagram off of my phone. It's just on my laptop now, so it keeps me from I don't want to be addicted. And took TVs out of my house. My kids are thriving. We're going to homeschool this year. We're trying to limit screen time, guys. It's not easy. I'm probably the one having the most difficult time through it all. And you know, my business hasn't taken a dent. So like, I used to worry, like, if I don't put content out every day, I'm not too worried about it anymore.
You've been consistent long enough to where the business will feed itself organically over time, which is great.
I appreciate it. I hope that's it. And I think I've come to that realization where it's like, I'm in a different place now, which is, it's good to be.
Well, it's super glad to hear that everything's going well. Everything is thriving. Coach Fish, you're awesome. We always enjoy our time with you. So thank you so much. And we'll continue to connect with you and follow your journey. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm following you guys too. Keep building.
Appreciate you.